Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. We appreciate the presence of each and every one. Especially good to have Bill and Mary Lou Smith back with us from their home in Virginia. And always great to have them down for a little while during the winter. So we're going to turn our attention now to the Lord's Supper. And my wife Ellen was teaching children's Bible class one time, and she asked the question to the kids, why do we become very quiet during the Lord's Supper? Why is everyone quiet during the Lord's Supper? And she said, you know how kids are in these Bible classes. She said, one child said, because it's not polite to talk with your mouth full. Okay. I thought that was pretty good. First of all, that child has very good manners. And so the parents are to be commended. Because it's not polite to talk with your mouth full. But there's a lot to learn there about the Lord's Supper, right? Starting with, we don't really have a mouthful, do we, when we partake of the Lord's Supper? But there's other reasons. That doesn't really have anything to do with my talk this morning. I just thought it'd be good to share a funny story. But we do get quiet, you know, during the Lord's Supper. And it's because, I mean, there's so many different ways to think about that. If we stop and consider the death of Jesus on the cross and all that he suffered, and especially if we stop and think about, really, it was my sins that put him there. It's because of me that he suffered and died. And there's so many, you know, deep lessons that we learn about his obedience to the Father, his doing what was right, even though we know it was not a pleasant experience for him. One of the things the cross does for us that I want to think about for just a few moments is it frees us from the bondage and the burden of legalism. And that's something when we understand it, I think it should be very precious and helpful, really, to each and every one of us. And really, it's the cross that frees us from the bondage of legalism. And I want to consider two scriptures that I think teach that. The first one is Romans chapter 8, verse 2. It says, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Now look at verse 3. It says, "For what the law could not do, because it was weak in the flesh, God did." Here's the death of Jesus. "By sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." The New American Standard puts verse 3 this way. "What the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh." And so he's talking there about the cross, that Jesus came in flesh and blood, and he died on the cross. And that set us free from this burden of having to keep the law, which we could not keep because we are weak in the flesh. Another verse that teaches this principle is Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us." And so that curse of the law is this curse that the only way to be saved through the law was to keep it perfectly. And that's legalism. We'll see that in just a moment. I'm going to be saved by my perfect conformity to the law. That's a curse. Christ has redeemed us from that. How? By becoming a curse for us. And then there's a reference there to the crucifixion. "Cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree." Jesus did that. And so the point again is that the cross frees us from the bondage of legalism. And I think it's something very important that we all need to understand. So we probably ought to spend a moment just thinking about what do we mean by legalism? When you look at that word, you see legal, of course, which reminds us of the concept of law. And then anytime you have the suffix ism, especially in a religious context, you're talking about a belief system or a theology or a way of thinking about things. And so legalism, there's many different definitions actually, but what we're thinking about this morning is the idea that your right standing with God, is based on our conformity to God's law. And that's really thinking that's not that uncommon. Me being right with God, it's a legal matter. He gave me the law, either I do it or I don't do it. And in order to be right with God, I must be in conformity to God's law. And that doesn't sound so bad, but the real problem with it is when you talk about legalism, it demands perfect conformity. Perfect conformity. You know, for example, a couple other scriptures that really illustrate that. Whoever keeps the whole law, but if he stumbles in one point, he's guilty of it all. And so, you know, maybe I'm pretty good at keeping God's law, but have I missed one point? Because what James is saying there is if we do the whole thing, but we stumble at one point, then we're guilty of it all. And that scripture in Galatians illustrates that as well. As many as are over the works of the law are under a curse, for it's written. Look at this. This is how the law works as far as saving us. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, you know, the stress there is on all things. The only way we can be right on the basis of law keeping is if we do everything. And if we do not continue in everything that is written, then he says, cursed is that person. So we are right with God based on our conformity to law. My performance, you know, me understanding everything and doing everything, that's what qualifies me to be right with God. Let me give an example. We might say, I know I'm in the right church this morning because in just a few minutes, we're going to take up a collection. And that's something we do every first day of the week. And that's how I know I'm in the right place. Because we're going to take up a collection on Sunday morning, and we don't take up collections at other times. Now, I believe that's the right thing to do. You know, and we've studied that. We see that that's what Christians did. They gave on the first day of the week. And it was the responsibility of the church to support the work. And we are going to do that in a few minutes. But what are we saying by that? Are we saying that anyone in any church that does not do it exactly that way, that we know for absolute certainty that they are lost? You know, that's a scary thing to say. Are we saying that if we are off on one technicality, then I know that I'm lost? Don't get me wrong, we do it that way for a reason. We believe that that's what the scriptures teach. But is that where our whole hope for salvation comes from, that we have to have everything precisely, exactly right? Now, that doesn't mean we would ever knowingly do something that we really don't believe the scriptures teach. We can't do that. But that's what legalism is. You know, and the point is, Christ has freed us from that. That's what those scriptures that we read are saying. Look again at Romans chapter 8, verse 2. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The law doesn't have flesh, of course. What he's saying there is that the law put great demands on the flesh. And God's law does that today. It all depends on me knowing everything and me doing everything. My flesh has to be in perfect conformity to the law. And that's a problem because we are weak. But God stepped in, and what God did is he sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he condemned sin in the flesh. You know, God let Jesus pay the price for our fleshly weaknesses. Again, legalism, my right standing with God is based on my conformity to God's law. That's true to an extent. You know, our right standing with God is based on, have we read the Bible? Are we doing what the Bible says? But the difference is, legalism demands perfect obedience, perfect works. And what the Bible teaches is we're not saved by works and law keeping. We're saved by faith. So let's look at that scripture in Galatians again. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He became a curse for us. In other words, he died on the cross. He redeemed us from that curse of the law. He became a curse. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Look at this, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The way we receive the promises is not through works, but it's through faith, is what it says. But what is faith? Well, faith means trusting in God. It means listening to God's word. It means fearing God. It means being very careful to listen carefully to what everything that God has said to do and doing our best to do that. But there's a contrast between that and legalism. You know, faith could be thought of somewhat legalistic. We're going to listen to God's law and we're going to do our best to do it. But the difference is legalism, again, requires perfect works. Our hope for salvation doesn't depend on our law-keeping ability. Jesus died to give us a way of salvation, but what it does depend on is our loving God and trusting Him and respecting His word. And if we ever learn something that's amiss, then if we have faith, we're going to correct that as soon as we possibly can. One thing this does for us, and we're just trying to really appreciate, you know, another aspect of Jesus' death on the cross, is it helps us, I think, in our attitude towards people that we disagree with. For example, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Judge not that you be not judged." Look at this part. "With whatever judgment you use, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." So you think about somebody who maybe is doing something that you're a little uncomfortable with. You know, if we just flatly condemn them and don't have any compassion or any patience, we're really saying, "God, I want you to judge me exactly the same way. And if you see one thing amiss in my life, I want you to condemn me and reject me." So instead of condemning and rejecting, we should, you know, look for ways that we can have dialogue with them and discuss with them and share what we believe the Scripture teaches and continue to show respect and patience. That doesn't mean we have fellowship and do things that we believe are wrong, but we need to be patient with people. Because however we look at others and however we judge others, this passage says God is going to judge us. And if we're going to be very, you know, strict and say everything has to be exactly right or you are lost, God's going to say that to us. Everything must be exactly right or you are lost. And so the point is, aren't you thankful, you know, Jesus died on the cross and gave us another way of salvation? It's not just, here's God's law, can you keep it or not? It's, yes, this is God's law, and you must trust in me, and you must respect it, and do your best to keep it. But we are weak, but Jesus died on the cross to take care of that curse for us. He became a curse by bearing our sins when he died on the cross. So as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, perhaps, you know, our hearts should be filled with thanksgiving that God has provided another way of salvation. Through his grace and mercy, by letting Jesus die for our sins. Let's bow our heads and give thanks for the bread. Dear God, we thank you so much for this day and the first day of the week. The day